When someone leads a haunted life, those experiences can oftentimes merge together almost into one big gray blob of paranormal. Sometimes what may happen one month may be completely different than the following. Sometimes they're connected, sometimes they're not. It's just a constant reality for some people who lead these lives, who are sensitive enough to pick up on the dead and where they are around us and how they are attempting to interact with our lives and how some are attempting to interact with theirs. Not everything is connected. Just as in real life, the actions that you may have with one individual this week may very likely have absolutely nothing to do with actions that occur between you and another individual another. It's something we have to keep in mind when we're talking about the paranormal, especially when it comes to individuals with haunted lives. Not all of it is connected, but all of it is very much a reality for some. Different spirits, different places, different times, different intents, and different interactions. In our first story on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 258, we hear about that. It is a long story about a woman who has many interactions with the paranormal, always has had interactions with the paranormal, from living at home to living near her sister, living with her sister, and then the choices that are made along the way, visiting antique stores, going out late at night to not so safe areas of town, all produce run-ins with the other side. It's a very compelling story about a very haunted life. From Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. That story is coming up next. Stay with us. I recently moved into my sister's home last December, mostly due to the spirit of the little girl. Pretty positive it's only making itself appear as an innocent child that resides at my parents'. I wrote in about the little girl and possibly another evil dark spirit that's taking over my parents' house, the one who woke me up and my husband from a dead sleep one night, and had done so by flicking water on our faces, and me getting hit in the face, as well as strange sounds of something walking around my bed at night, and hearing it mumble. I could hear its feet shuffling on the carpet, as well as our brand new puppy barking outside my bedroom door, the day I pretty much banned it from my room, spiritually, and with the help of salt and sage. Being at that house was a prison sentence. I had become extremely depressed, turned to substances to put me to sleep, so I'd be in such a deep sleep that I couldn't hear them tinkering and walking around the bed or the house. One day I just noticed that this thing was preying on me and sucking my soul away. I started noticing that no matter who started living there, this thing or multiple things got a hold of them and they became negative. And it made their lives turn dark really fast. I know it sure did me. I even found myself contemplating suicide. And if you knew me, you would never in a million years think I would think of such a thing, let alone start planning it. I was and am now again a happy, look at the bright side, glass half full, life won't get me down gal. So I decided to leave and moved into my sister's house for a couple of months until the apartment attached to her house became available. And I haven't looked back to that prison home, not once. The moment I left, I felt a wash of peace and confidence and pure happiness wash over me. The happiness that I hadn't felt in the last 4 or 5 years I lived there. I told my parents and sister that's currently still residing there that they need to watch the way they think and pray and bless the house constantly. Because we've done everything to be rid of the evil entities that dwell there with little to no luck probably 20 times in the last 5 years. I worry about them living there, and I've noticed their constant negativity. It's not looking good for them. I'm afraid for their well-being, what may happen to them while in that property. this begins and leads me to my latest experiences. Since moving about 30 miles away, I've rid myself of those dark entities, like I said, but I do have new ones that have visited or have attached themselves. I must say, I think I might have accidentally brought on some of it. The first day I moved in with my sister's house, mind you, there's only been one owner there before her and her family moved in, and it was her husband's grandparents, and I knew this would likely feel their presence every now and then. They'd not scare me, but somehow I think there's something evil that is there as well. My husband and I had a room downstairs in the kitchen TV area, which was completely comprised of the original wood flooring. It was directly above our room, and due to the material, we could hear every tiny movement or shuffle upstairs. On several occasions, I'd hear the front door open and shut, and then footsteps of multiple people entering the home. I'd walk upstairs to go greet my sister, her husband, and or niece and nephew, to find that no one was home. The door would be shut tight and bottom locked, as well as a deadbolt. The first time this happened, I thought, oh, hell no, the evil spirits of my parents, so I'm better not have followed me. But I knew it possibly couldn't be those spirits because I wasn't getting the tight feeling in my chest or the severe anxiety and feeling of absolute dread that always followed that came with the entities at my former home. I asked my sister about the incident and she said she believed it was a relative of the husband, the one who built the home, and his wife. They did, after all, die here. I don't know if this gave me comfort or not, but it happened several more times, and I never felt threatened. I'd simply just turn back around and return to my bedroom every time this occurred, and would carry on with whatever I was previously doing. But one night, it was different. I was home alone, my husband was at work until 2 a.m., and my brother-in-law and sister and their kids were out in California at Disneyland. I was coloring in an adult coloring book, one of my relaxing hobbies, and heard the front door open upstairs and shut softly, followed by heavy footsteps like a man wearing work boots walking across the TV room into the kitchen area. I paused what I was doing, put the TV on pause, and listened as it continued to walk around on the wood floors above my head. The way these footsteps sounded, I immediately panicked, wondering who was in the house. These footsteps sounded like they had weight to them as they stomped around the kitchen. This made me extremely nervous, especially because my husband wasn't due home for another 2 hours, and my sister's family wasn't due home for 5 days, and no one else had access to the locked and deadbolted front door or any part of the home. I began to panic, imagining an intruder walking around upstairs, wondering if the intruder knew I was down there, and how I was going to get out of the house if it was truly someone who wanted to physically harm me. My heart began to pound in my chest as I tried to figure out the best route out of the house and my truck out front. We didn't live in the best neighborhood, I must add, and an intruder is quite possible in South Salt Lake. The bedroom window was not an option due to the bars on the outside of the windows, and if I opened my bedroom door, I feared the intruder might hear me, and I might be in even more danger. I decided to grab my pocket knife that was sitting on the nightstand and sat on the carpet with my back pushed up against the door. There was no lock on my door. I also extended my leg and put my foot up on the bed frame of my bed, which was perfectly placed so I could push up against the door with one foot and push my back against the door, barricading myself inside the room. As I clutched my pocket knife, I heard the stranger open the baby gate. The baby gate at the top of the stairs, which led to my room. As they started to descend down the 13 stairs slowly, a bit of weight at a time, on each step I could hear them creaking. I wanted to scream, but I just kept quiet and pressed myself even harder against my door and bed and listened to the sound of the heavy boot-like steps as they stepped one by one down about 5 stairs. I could now hear what to me sounded like a windbreaker, jogging pants, or a jogging suit, that swish-swish sound that they make as a person stepped 3 more steps down, and I was terrified. It stopped right there, only several stairs to go to the outside of my door. I was holding my breath, now afraid the intruder could hear me breathing. When I couldn't hold it anymore, and as my muscles began to shake from how hard I was pushing myself against the bed, I had to let my breath out, and I wondered, why is the intruder just standing on the steps? I heard no further movement, so I hurried and grabbed my phone and was prepared to call 911 if he stepped 1 more step closer to my door, but nothing still. I texted my sister, asked her if she was expecting anyone home or if anyone had a key beside my husband and me, and she replied, no, why? And I told her everything, and still, I heard no retreat of footsteps, no doors shut, no swish swish, the windbreaker type material. I was wondering if I was going crazy. Finally got the nerve to open my door, pocket knife in one hand, phone ready to press send on the 911 call I had pre-programmed in if I had to. I opened the door slowly, peeked around the corner, and there was no one standing there on the steps. Absolutely no one. I really started thinking I was losing my mind as I went up to the stairs ever so cautiously and to throw the baby gate into the front door. It was locked and deadbolted still. I searched the house, not any sign that anyone was there but me. But how? This was so real, and all the things I heard were so real that I honestly didn't know how there wasn't someone standing right there on the steps as I opened my door. This wasn't the cute old couple ghost. This was something else, and I still think about it to this day. I wonder if I'd gotten enough sleep or just lost my mind for a good minute. I don't know, but after that I started experiencing other noises and sounds in the home other than what I call the good little couple who was just carrying on their daily routine. And so is my sister. A couple of months had passed since the intruder incident, and my sister and I went on this cute little antique store about a mile from the house. We walked in, and immediately I got a tightness in my chest, a feeling. I tried to ignore it, so I continued. We looked at all the cute, unique things the store had until I walked around a corner, and there was this mask. It was handmade. And I hope to God it wasn't really made of what it looked like it was made of. Oh, God. But it was called a hip bone mask, and it looked like a human hip bone. And it gave me chills all the way from my toes to the ends of my hair. So I passed it in a hurry and was picking up these items in a chest-like old messenger bag and military bags. I'd seen something green and rubbery under one of the messenger bags, and I picked it up, turned it around, and it was a damn gas mask. Like used in a war, like World War II in Germany. That's what I thought of it anyway. I threw it down, but at that moment I had this urge to get the hell out of there and get as far away from that hip mask as well as this creepy gas mask. My sister wanted to keep looking. I tried to be strong and stay with her, but I only lasted maybe 3 more minutes and I told her I'd be in the car waiting. She, of course, called me a name. It was fine with me. I wanted out. I had to get out of there. That night, I had the most gruesome nightmare about a man wearing that gas mask as he was cutting the torso of a woman and pulling her hip bone out. He put the gas mask down and put the bloody hip bone over his face, and then I looked at the body, and it was my hip bone. My husband had to wake me. I was screaming in my sleep so loud that even a couple minutes after waking me up, I was still hysterical. My sister ran downstairs to see what the hell was going on, and I told her about the dream, and she apologized for taking me to that store. Even admitted it gave her the willies too. After that incident, it seemed the noises in the house became more frequent and louder, and not the sweet old couple kind. And that's where we're going to pause this one to hear the full story of this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You'll get access to the entire EPP bonus episode, number 258. Find out exactly what happens in this haunted life story that we're going through. It is truly, truly a compelling one. Also in this episode, a visit to an abandoned school in the middle of the forest for one child holds more than just what Mother Nature has reclaimed. And tormenting dreams that connect to reality leaves one woman with more questions than answers. Those stories and more in this EPP bonus episode number 258, available to extra podcast people, EPPs, when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to this and all 258 bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show as we release them, and many other extras all there. Your support is what keeps this thing on the air. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.